Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings, and we pray that they would just take root in our hearts so that we can follow these very important teachings about speaking the truth in love and being quick to be reconciled with those we're at odds with. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, everything Jesus did was to help us experience liberation from the grip of slavery and sin. He came that we might have life and have it in abundance. Those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. So his teachings are of extreme importance to us. And today, in this 18th chapter of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, he introduces a very important teaching that's seldom followed in the church and in the world today. And that's the reason why there's so many divisions. You know, we say that Jesus reconciled us to the Father and to one another, and yet we have thousands of denominations we can't worship together because there's so many splits and divisions within Christianity over the years. It's a scandal to non-believers that that's a reality, because it's much easier just to walk away and do something different than to seek to have courage to go and confront somebody when we have a difference against them. So putting this teaching into practice will create a much more peaceful world and less violence and division, and especially within our families. When we are at odds with a member of our family, we should never just walk away and not talk to them anymore. And I hear so many stories like that, you know, where people just choose to walk away. And I haven't spoken to my brother for 15 years. Really? Don't you think you're going to have to deal with that before you get into heaven? Didn't he say what you bind on earth is bound on earth, and what's loosed on earth is loosed on earth? That we have to be accountable, and God does not ever want us walking in a spirit of bitterness or unforgiveness, but in a spirit of freedom and not slavery. 2 Timothy 1, the spirit that God has given you is a spirit of boldness and a sound mind. And when we're dwelling on how someone offended or hurt us and not trying to work it out, it just poisons us. And I know firsthand all about that. You know, how easy it is to brood over injury when someone inflicts something upon us. And so we need to be more quick to try to work it out. And so I have 3 points I want to make about this today in this homily. We all have a responsibility to speak the truth in a spirit of love. That's the goal, to speak the truth in a spirit of love. And I'm sure we've all been the recipients of people in our lives who've been very critical of us. Maybe it's a coworker, a boss, a member of our family who's just really eager to point out something we did wrong or some way we offended them. But you can tell in the way they deliver that message that there's really no openness to trying to reconcile and to be understood and to kind of reach a place of healing and forgiveness in the relationship. I had tons of emails. They're all erased now, but where people send you an email and they just are just vicious and nasty, and they point out something that you did wrong, and there's no, can we meet together and have a cup of coffee to try to work this out? It's basically eat something and die, if you will. And I've probably sent some emails like that too. And it's just a bad thing. It's a really bad thing. But I've also had people that love me and care about my own spiritual growth. And they'll come to me and pray first and then bring something up that I did to hurt or offend them. And then we work it out and pray together for God's healing, for the Holy Spirit to bring healing to that relationship. And that is the most joyful experience you could ever have, is when you think all hope is gone in some kind of relationship with the person and you actually achieve reconciliation, and it's even stronger than it was before that offense happened in the relationship. And that's God's plan for us. But we must speak the truth in the spirit of love. We have a different code of conduct as Christians, amen? Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the thinking of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may know what is good and pleasing to God. And so the tendency today is when somebody is offended, they go to the press, they go to all their friends and gossip about what a rotten person this is, that they did this to me and I don't deserve it, yada, yada, yada. But that kind of behavior happens in the church too, right? It happens in the church. Sometimes, I haven't said this for a couple of years, sometimes church folk are the worst because we have a different code of conduct, but so often we just try to pull the bar down and not follow it and just be very worldly in the way we behave and conduct ourselves. And I know I had to go to somebody a few years ago with a very difficult situation, and I was praying all the way to the meeting, oh Lord, please give me the grace of the Holy Spirit to speak the truth in love. I'm so nervous and anxious about how this is going to turn out. And he gave me the grace, and from my standpoint, it went very well. I can't speak for the person I confronted, but I know I did the right thing, and I left with a sense of peace, because speak the truth in a spirit of love. So whenever you have something difficult to do with a person, co-worker, family, friend, you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me the ability to speak the truth in a spirit of love, and he'll give it to you. We are called to live in a spirit of forgiveness and reconciliation. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. My roommate in college twisted that around and said, do unto others before they do unto you. That's not what he said. That if we expect people to be merciful to us when we screw up and make mistakes and fall short of what God has asked us to do, shouldn't we have the same standard for them, right? And so often when we get hurt, we just brood over our injury. We don't even think about the person and what's going on in their life. And so often when they kind of give us a jab, it's more of a reflection of them than us, right? They're in a bad place, and so they're going to just kick you in the gut and say, you know, well, it's your fault, or I'm just going to take it on you. And so you have to disarm your ego and say, okay, Lord, maybe this isn't all about me and what's going on in their life. And so before you send that email, take some time to pray, because what if they're on the verge of jumping off a cliff? They're just overwhelmed by the problems of their life and the sufferings they're going through, and you send a nice little nasty email to them and just push them over the cliff, you know? So we have to be very careful. And that's why when people have serious things to discuss with me, I said, I'm not gonna do this by email. It's a really inhumane way to communicate. And if we were staring each other face to face, eye to eyeball, we probably wouldn't say some of the things we put down in an email, amen? And once you hit the send button, uh-oh. It used to be an America Online. You could, if they didn't read the message, you could retrieve it. And they did away with that feature and the new emails and stuff. So it's like, uh-oh, I hit the send button. So I try to pray over my emails. I fall short sometimes. Hopefully you've never been the recipient of one of those emails in this church today. I think I'm getting better. Yikes. And then lastly, that God is not a mean God, that if he calls us to do things, then he wants to help us do them. So he will give us the grace of the Holy Spirit. This is why the Life in the Spirit seminars are so important, that we need to discover the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who helps us in our weakness and helps us to do the right thing. And if you don't know the role of the Holy Spirit, you haven't befriended the Holy Spirit, then you're just relying on yourself, and you're not going to get very far. Unless the Lord builds a house, in vain to the laborer's toil. And I found a beautiful little meditation that I shared yesterday with a friend of mine, but I want to share it now because I think it's very apropos to this message. And it's from this In Sine Jesu, at the chest of Jesus, this little devotional. I bought it on Kindle too, and I wanted to copy it so I didn't have to bring the book up, but I got one of those bad messages that says, you've cut and pasted too much. Please buy another copy of this. I'm like, I'm too cheap to do that, so I bought the book instead. So this is a beautiful message, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just the parts that I think are most pertinent. My heart is both loving and generous. I am generous to my friends, to those who trust in my love for them, and to those who approach me, confident in my goodness and expecting to receive good things from the treasury of my sacred heart. Such is my love for you. I love you with a tender and faithful love, with a merciful and redeeming love. There is nothing that I will not do for you are mine, and I have set my heart upon you, making you my friend forever. So many souls make little or no progress in the holiness that I desire for them because they do not trust in my grace. They attempt to change themselves by making use of purely human means and forget that I am all-powerful, all-merciful, and ready at every moment to heal and sanctify those who entrust themselves with their weaknesses and sins to my most loving heart. I do not ask for perfection from those whom I have chosen to be my friends. I ask only that they give me their imperfection and the burden of their sins and allow me to do for them what of themselves they are incapable of doing. So a wonderful invitation for us to trust more in the grace and mercy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us go to our brother or sister if we have something wrong and pray that the Lord in his goodness will help us work it out and achieve a sense of reconciliation and peace. Amen. Mm-hmm.